we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program today. I'm Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And we want to welcome you to another victorious week here in glorious Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 and making us part of your commute or your morning at work or your drive home if you're listening at 5 o'clock. However you may be listening to us, we want to say thank you for spending the next few minutes with us. And we do pray that you are planning on having a great, great week in Jesus Christ. So today we are going to be in Galatians chapter 5. And we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit in verse number 22. And the point of this discussion is that as we are walking by the Spirit, as we are led by the Spirit, as we are abiding in the Spirit, that the Spirit of God is going to make us fruitful. Every life is going to produce fruit of some variety. It depends upon the source that you are tapped into. And so if you are tapped into your carnal nature, you will produce carnal fruit. And that will exhibit itself in the works of the flesh that we talked about previously. But if you and I are abiding in the Holy Spirit, if we are tapped into the life of Christ, we are going to produce spiritual fruit that is going to be glorious. And it's not going to be apples and oranges and pomegranates and mangoes and all of that sort of stuff. It is going to produce the fruit of the Spirit that is described here in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. And so if we are not producing these things, we need to examine our connection with the Holy Spirit, because this is supposed to be something that naturally occurs in the lives of believers. Okay? So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So today we are going to be looking at this fruit of the Spirit that is called joy. Believers in Jesus Christ should have a supernatural joy in their life. So a little over a week ago, I did a sermon at our church called The Sounds of Heaven Part 3. And that heaven, so let me bring you up to speed in case you haven't been there. There's a good chance you weren't, because this radio program reaches into all extents of the county, and we're one of the smaller churches in the area. But so there's a good chance you didn't hear this. Now, you might have heard it on Facebook Live or something like that. But let me describe to you the sound of heaven. The first thing that greets you when you get to heaven is the sound of holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You will hear heaven resounding with declarations of the holiness of God. You see that in the book of Isaiah. You will see that in the book of Revelation. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The second sound that I believe that you will notice as you are celebrating God and his character and his nature, as you are worshiping him for who he is that you will find that Jesus is interceding for you, that one of the sounds of heaven, I believe it's a very significant sound in heaven, is the sound of prayer that is taking place, that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father and he is interceding for you. He is interceding for you right now. What an advocate. I mean, if I've got somebody that I need representing me, I want it to be Jesus. He is wonderfully prepared, wonderfully equipped, and wonderfully able to be able to represent my interests well and God's interests in me well. He is a mediator, and I am thankful that he intercedes. The scripture also says that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us in accordance with the perfect will of God. And so heaven is resounding with intercession from God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Revelation also indicates that the second sound, or that another sound, is that there are these golden bowls that are filled with the prayers of the saints. And I want you to know that every time you and I pray, that God is not ignoring those. He's collecting them. He's got them there, and the saints say, "How long, O God? How long? How long?" And God is paying attention to those. And so I ask our congregation, how full is your bowl? How full is your bowl? Are you filling your bowl as you and I cry out to God? Are you filling that bowl up because God wants it filled? And so if we bring those two sounds down to our congregations here, there is going to be a great awareness of the holy presence of God. We need to make sure that we are not just there to meet the superficial needs of our community, but we need to create a spiritual atmosphere where there's a holy encounter with the living God. Holy, holy, holy. So when you and I come to church, I hope that there is an awareness that we're in a holy place with a holy God and a holy people with a holy purpose, and that we appreciate the aspect of holiness. But our churches should also represent the fulfillment of scriptures that God desires for his house to be a house of prayer for all nations. And somebody once said that one of the great fulfillments of life will be not when we get God to fill our agenda, but when we realize that it is our privilege to get into agreement with his agenda. And so if he wants his house to be a house of prayer for all nations, then I believe that our house should be a house of prayer for all nations as well, and that it should not be so monotonous when you look out as skin tone, that it should not be so monotonous when it comes to demographics, that there should be a representation of every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And so we look for Merit Assembly of God to be well represented in with the nations of the world, if you will. So it's always a great great thrill for us when that happens. Prayer should be a sound that fills our house. And a little over a week ago, I shared the sound of heaven part 3, and that is that the sound of heaven is a sound of celebration. So if you turn to Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15 is traditionally known as the three stories of that which is lost. And Jesus spoke two parables to them, but at verse number 11, it does not describe as the prodigal son does not describe it as a parable. It says a certain man had two sons. Okay. The other two were hypothetical situations, but when Jesus told that story, he was very specific. It's much like the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man descends into hell, and Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham. It's never described as a parable. It's described as an actual event. And so where some people will focus on the lostness and the foundness, I want to share with you that this passage, that these stories have a great deal with rejoicing, that you and I are called to rejoice. And so I'm not going to read the whole things for you. This parable begins when the Pharisees and the scribes complained that Jesus was hanging out with sinners and he was eating with them. And he described to them, "Hey, I'm here." You have to remember that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He was moved with compassion in order to come and reach these people with the love of Jesus. So here is in verse number 4, it begins the parable of a man who has 100 sheep and one of them is missing. And he goes into the wilderness and he goes after the one which is lost until he finds it. Verse number 5 says, "And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it in which she has found it? She calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And a similar attitude is created in the prodigal's return home, where there is the father, being moved with compassion, he runs and he greets his son, and his son repents. And the father says, "Let's bring out the best robe." Verse number 22, "Put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this son of mine, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. And it says that those outside the house could hear the music and hear the dancing. There's a great amount of joy when a person asks Jesus to be the Lord of their life, to ask him to forgive them of their sins. Okay, you need to understand that that causes a celebration in heaven. And this specifically describes that the angels begin to rejoice. Now, you need to have an understanding that when Jewish people, Hebrew people, rejoiced in that culture, their joy was recognized by three characteristics. First of all, it was spontaneous. It was something that just erupted. Do you realize how hard it is to manufacture joy when it is supposed to be a fruit of the Spirit? It's supposed to be something that naturally flows inside of us. There would be this spontaneous joy that comes because of some external circumstance. And, you know, for the first story, it was the sheep being found. For the second story, it was the lost coin being found. And for the father, it was his son who had run away and squandered everything that was his. It was him returning home and realizing, my father treats people better than I thought he treated. Isn't it interesting that the prodigal that ran away came back, or came to his right mind while he was away, and realized how well his father treated his servants. In the same time, the older son, the older brother who didn't go away, who didn't squander the resources, who stayed there, lashed out at his father for his failure to treat him the way that he deserved. In actuality, there were two sons that were lost. And where the father, he went to both of them. And so I want you to know today how much joy there is in heaven. I believe that our churches would be well equipped if we would remember that it is reaching the lost that is what gives birth to this spontaneous praise. The other thing, the third characteristic of Hebraic joy, was that it was expressed physically and emotionally. There was a response. There was a great deal of joy. So heaven rejoices. The angels rejoice whenever a sinner gives their heart to the Lord. And so we hopefully don't have an accurate accounting of the number of people that we affect. I have no idea of knowing how many people are touched by this radio program. I have no concept if anybody says the sinner's prayer and asks Jesus to be the Lord of their life and begins a journey with Jesus Christ. If they don't tell me, I have no way of knowing. But the ones that we do know, we have seen seven people give their heart to Jesus in 2017. And so we're celebrating that. We have a part in the celebration of the 50 plus missionaries that we support on a monthly basis and those that they impact. We get to celebrate with that. And so there should be a great deal of joy. The angels begin to rejoice. And so I'm very thankful for that joy that God has given to us. And I want to tell you that just because God rejoices over you when you got saved does not mean that that was when his celebration of you ended. You see, everybody's excited about the wedding day, but I'm still thankful that we get to rejoice even though my wife had been married for over three decades. And so I know couples that have been married for six decades, and their testimony is we have more fun now than we have in our entire, you know, we've had ever before. And so I'm thankful that the God gives us a fruit that the more we abide in him, there is the fruit of joy. Okay. So let me just give you a couple of more verses here on this joy concept. In Psalm 104:31, it says, "May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works." And so it goes on and it describes the earth he created, and he touches the hills and they respond. And I believe that when God looks at his creation and he created a covenant with the sun and a covenant with the moon, the one to govern the day, the other to govern the night, And that every day when he sees that sun doing exactly what it's supposed to do, and at night he sees the moon doing exactly what it's supposed to do, I believe that it brings him joy when his creation is operating the way that it is supposed to. But I want to share with you that Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I want you to understand that God not only rejoices over you when you get saved, but he rejoices in us as we are his workmanship and he is creating a masterpiece. And so some days his working in us is taking things out, and sometimes his working in us is putting things in. Sometimes it's shaping us. Sometimes it's molding us. Sometimes it is finishing us. Sometimes it is making his face to shine upon us. But I want to tell you that no matter where you are in your journey today, that God is celebrating because he knows the end and he knows the beginning and he knows all of the process in between. And so he's rejoicing over you and I. He's rejoicing over you and me as he works in us. He's filled with joy when he does it. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." I found it interesting that in Luke chapter 15, that Jesus, here identifying the shepherd, was rejoicing when he found the sheep that was missing as he carried that sheep on his shoulders. And I want you to see that you are not a burden to God. He is rejoicing as he is carrying you, because as he's carrying you, you come to know his heartbeat and you come to know his voice, and you begin to understand that his heart is for you, not against you. That the way that he operates in your life is to protect you from threats, both internal and external. Whether it is predators that are waiting in the shadows to consume you, or whether it is a parasitic creature that would try and infect you and bring illness into your life, that the shepherd operates to protect you. He operates in your best interest. And when he returns home, he says, look, I don't want to celebrate all by myself. I want you to rejoice with me. In verse number 17 of Zephaniah 3, it says, he will rejoice over you with gladness. And so I want you to see that he rejoices over you. You make his heart glad. But that latter rejoice is not the same word as the previous rejoice. In the first part of the verse, it means just that there is gladness, there's happiness, there's contentment, there's a joy that is arising. But the second one, he will rejoice over you with singing, is reflective of that Hebraic concept where there is going to be a physical and emotional response. And I love the fact that we can sing to the Lord. In our house, it's not a strange thing for us to break into silly songs. Listen, if you have kids or grandkids and they grew up with Veggie Tales and Silly Songs with Larry, long before there were Silly Songs with Larry, there were Silly Songs with Bob. And so now, just about everybody in our family will break into a song or will understand what was going on. Sometimes my daughters will just wait and say, I wonder where Dad is taking this song now. God sings over you. But it also means that rejoicing there means to spin around as a top. You are going around, and he's going around in circles. In other words, God is ecstatically filled with joy with you being his child and with you allowing him to work in your life. I find it very interesting how we expect mercy and understanding for our shortcomings from everyone else, and yet we expect perfection out of other people. If there's anybody who could say, you know what, you don't meet my standards, it would be God. But I find it extremely exhilarating that he is looking for us. You're the apple of his eye, and he is rejoicing over you. He is literally moved into motion because you are his child. So there's a great deal of rejoicing that goes on in heaven. So over the next few broadcasts, we're going to look at some of the concepts of the fruit of the Spirit, which is the joy of the Lord in our life. This is not something that just satisfies our carnal nature. It is not something that we celebrate just because good things are happening. It is a joy that comes from our relationship with God. So if I had a goal for this week, it's that there would be a lot more Christians, jubilant Christians, in Brevard County by the time we get to get through with this study on this particular aspect of fruit. What does your life look like? Luke 15 began with a bunch of people complaining because they didn't like who Jesus was hanging out with. So does your life look a lot more like a complainer, or does it look a lot like somebody who is thrilled with their relationship with Jesus? I hope that your songs is looks a lot more like this. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I hope it looks like that instead of, he has made me mad. He has made me sad. I hope that that's not the way that we go around representing our Savior. What is that, listen, there's enough anger in the world. What we need is we need to manifest the joy of the Lord. As I was preparing to come to the radio station today, I was thinking about what our world looks like right now. There is a huge segment of our society right now that goes around and they are enraged about everything. They are pretty much upset if the sun comes up in the east of a morning. That when the sun sets of an evening, they're enraged. They're enraged when they're awake. They're enraged when they're asleep. They're enraged all of the time. And I want you to know that the wrath of man never accomplishes the will of God. But the joy of the Lord, the joy that is brought into our life because of the abiding and intensifying relationship we have with the Holy Spirit, that is going to make a difference in people's life. You know, smile at somebody, make them wonder what's going on inside of you. And so I hope today, I know Mondays can be rough, but I hope that the joy of the Lord will emanate from you. It will flow through you to reach other people in this community, because they need to know that the God who produces joy in you can produce fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, in them as well. What would it look like if Christians went around and they exhibited the joy that is naturally ours because of our sins being forgiven, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the fact that we are empowered to live a godly and holy life, that God is watching over us to meet every need that we have? What would it look like if people realized that God is living in people in Brevard County? I greeted someone at church some time ago and said, "You are a carrier of Jesus. Jesus is living in your life." Hallelujah. I pray today that when you go home, you will be jubilant that you have a home to go home to. If you've got people in your life, be thankful, be jubilant. Don't go home mad. Go home rejoicing of what is awaiting for you at home. And if you've got purpose in your life, and I know that God has a purpose for you, thank God, and rejoice in the purpose that He has for you. God bless you. I pray that you have a wonderful day here in Brevard County and that the joy of the Lord flows through you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are.
still my praise to you is like an